Scripture tells us, eye has not seen, neither has it entered into the mind what God has prepared for us. Isn't it exciting to think about the next 50 years? Keep loving our Savior and searching His riches. One day, He will come for us. Wow. And we will be changed to be like Him. God bless you, Brother Cole. Praise God. We appreciate that. Amen. And we look forward to that day. The Churchills are coming to sing, praise God, about the time that's coming and how we desire that time to be here. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise God. Worship the Lord with them as they sing tonight.
This afternoon, I was connecting the dots from Brother Greg's sermon last night. And I went back and visited the tomb where Orveda Galyon was buried one day, that old self, and a new one was resurrected. And as I was connecting the dots, it dawned on me that was 51 years ago this summer that happened to me. And I was scheduled to go back to college in 3 weeks after I got the Holy Ghost. But the man who baptized me said, you know, I don't think you know anything about the Word of God. I grew up with an atheistic father, didn't know much about the Word of God. He said, I think you need to go to Bible school. And so, much to the chagrin of my parents, I dropped out of college temporarily. I did go back, but I dropped out temporarily. And I went away to Bible school. And that was 51 years ago. But this is where I connected the dots. This is amazing to me. And so 51 years ago, I was a freshman at the Bible school. The second year, 50 years ago, I took a class in missions under Sister Lundquist, Mom. Remember Sister Lundquist? And one of the things that we had to do was make this scrapbook about missionaries. And one of the things that we had to do with that was to choose a missionary family and learn all we could about them, and then we were to pray for them every day. That was 50 years ago. I had forgotten about it until I connected the dots today. I chose Kenneth and Louise French in Alaska to pray for 50 years ago for the entire school year. That was the year that this church was started. And I got so excited when I was standing there thinking about this. I thought, Lord, I have been connected to this church for 50 years and I didn't even know it. And I'm so thankful for that. I didn't know where Sterling was. I really didn't have any interest in knowing where Sterling was. I didn't even want to know where Alaska was, where everyone lived in an igloo and drove a dog sled. I didn't want to know about all that stuff. But 50 years later, I'm standing in that very church. Praise God. You know what? God knows your future. And you don't know what's going to happen to you in the future. But God's got it all worked out. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. Hallelujah. So connecting those dots after my visit to my tombstone, I was so excited. But I was thinking about, I was asked to sing this song. It's an old one. That's because we're doing 50 years. And it's an old song. It's a hillbilly song. So there it is. But you know, it's a song that said, I'm very eager for the coming of the Lord. But that was written a long time ago. But I've sung this song for many a year. But I'm telling you that the closer I get to heaven age-wise, the more I am eager to see my Lord. And that day is coming. That day is coming so soon. So worship the Lord with us tonight in our eagerness to see the Lord.
There's a light in the window and a table spread in splendor, and someone's standing by the open door. I see a crystal river flowing. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home. This whole world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time, and I can see my Father's flying, for I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time, and I can see my Father standing at the door. This whole world's wilderness, but I'm ready for delay. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my Father standing at the door. This whole world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. The sound of a trumpet. I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't wake me. Soon the eastern sky will part, and I'll see His face. Oh, what's that I hear? Is it the sound of a trumpet? I feel the touch of a much better place. And if I am dreaming,
see the bright light shine.
It's just about home time.
Come on.
I can see my Father standing at the door.
This whole world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been homesick before. One more time.
Oh, see the bright light. Just about home time. door. The world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm sure the world thinks that we're crazy. How can you be homesick to a place you've never been? Because we have the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. If the infilling of the Holy Ghost is any indication of what's coming, I definitely want to get the rest of it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So thankful Brother Herring is here, a pastor from Palmer and member of the district board. Brother Herring, please come and greet these folks tonight. Praise God. Brother Hillstead, you're in a district now that has great concern for all of the churches, all of the pastors. In the time that Brother Cole was gone and we were coming, these men filled in on an interim basis and did more than fill in. They saw miracles happen and the hand of God at work. Brother Herring, come. God bless him tonight.
It's good to be here tonight. Got a pounding headache, but it's still good to be in church tonight. I was thinking as the brother and sister Churchill were singing, you've been here 24 years, right? So 23 years. When Pastor Cole had left, my wife and I came over and preached a couple of times, and I would get alone and just secretly hope and pray that somehow I'd end up the pastor of the Sterling United Pentecostal Church. Being honest, what can I say, you know? You got to understand, that was a long time ago. I was in my 20s. But I'm so thankful that the hand of God knows exactly, or the mind of God knows what he wants, and the hand of God does it just like he wants. And you got the best end of the deal. Thankful for your pastor, pastor's family, and a man with a vision, a man with the mind of God, family that follows. It's not easy, but it's worth it, praise God. Good to see this growing church, this revival-minded church, and love your pastor and family. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Herring. God bless him tonight. Thank the Lord. One of the Heiler's grandsons had injured his finger. I don't know if it got caught in a door or something, but Brother Herring was here preaching and prayed for Brian, and it was a bad injury. His finger was hurt bad. Brother Herring prayed just a simple prayer of faith in the name of Jesus, and that finger healed right up. Praise God. The Lord did that work. Oh, I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. Praise God. It's always good to have so many people visiting in service on an occasion like this. And we want to bring you a visitor tonight that we miss very severely. We miss the Eichards. But they're going to visit with us on the screen. And the video is longer, or the video that they would like to have. In Namibia, answer to prayer. They got their visas. Let's pray that God would use them in a great impact, in a great way, in Jesus' name. God, we ask you, Lord, to be with the Eichards. Lord, let your anointing be upon them. Thank you for opening doors. Thank you for giving them favor. Thank you for ministering through them, God. Use them in a great way to make a huge impact. Oh, God, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be displayed. Lord Jesus, that the move of the Holy Ghost would be great. The outpouring of your Spirit would continue. The truth of your name would be proclaimed. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, in your great name, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Glory to God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your great name, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Brother Springer, please come. Appreciate our pastor from Homer. Very thankful he is here. God bless him. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm enjoying myself tonight very much. I'm having fun. This is a good time with the family of God. Amen. I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. It's great to be here with the lineage of Brother Glover, the rich heritage that he's passing on. And, you know, it's been about 2 years since we've had a baptism in Homer. And you start to question, you start to wonder, is it really worth the effort? Is it really worth everything that a pastor goes through? Well, Wednesday night, praise God, we baptized somebody. Amen. Praise God. In Jesus' name. And I'm thankful. And I'm glad all of heaven rejoices when one, hallelujah, one, praise God. We've been in Homer about 6 years. And I was praying and I was telling the Lord, Lord, I don't care if it's another 6 years before we baptize somebody else. That was worth every struggle and everything that we go through as a pastor. And let me put some words in Brother Glover's mouth. Whatever he's been through in these last 23 years, whatever struggle, whatever heartache, every time he stands behind this pulpit to minister to you, seeing you sitting there living a victorious and overcoming life makes it worth it all. Every bit. Every bit. You're his joy. Don't forget that. Lord bless you tonight. In Jesus' name.
God bless you.
Well, very quickly before we continue on, we wanted to do this presentation tonight because we knew that most of you could be here tonight and traveling and being home for Sunday services and whatnot. But we wanted to honor our pastor. And we wanted to honor this church, and we couldn't think of anything to do. Absolutely nothing was coming to mind. What in the world do you do for 50 years? And then, I believe you were talking about cornerstones and stones, and we thought, that's it. This church was built on the Word of God. It was the foundation for which the Frenches came and taught. And then the Coles after them, and then the Glovers as well. And we're like, how do we honor all of that? And there is no way to put that into words. So we put it into stone. Brother Glover, we wanted to present a cornerstone. Hallelujah. Founded on the truth of God's word, September 12th, 1963. I hope that date's right because that's in stone. With Psalms 105, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We're so thankful that you're here, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Wow. Awesome. Oh, thank God. That is so great, so wonderful. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. We were at Derek and Shannon's wedding. By the way, the wedding went very well. Thank you for your prayers for that event. What a beautiful couple, and what an exciting thing that they're coming to Sterling in January. In Jesus' name. But trying to find the church, the GPS took us on a country road. We got to see some of the country in Georgia. And the GPS says, you have arrived at your destination. on the right, and we looked, and it's just an open field. Like, this can't be right. So we turned around and head back, and we passed a cemetery, and one of the closest headstones in that cemetery had Glover written on it. I said, that's a bad sign. I'm thankful that that does not have Glover written on it. And nor is it a headstone to commemorate the death of the Sterling Pentecostal Church. Thank God it's alive. Hallelujah. It's alive in the Holy Ghost. It's alive in truth. It's alive in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for it. Praise God. Sister Springer, come and sing for the glory of the Lord. We're so very thankful for all our neighboring pastors and their families. Amen. Glad we can rejoice together.
But if I lose it all,
That's right. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. What a reason to live. Our God, Jesus. And then to know and to hope we're going to live with Him forever, forever. Praise God. You may be seated. What a tremendous message Brother Blackshear preached this morning. Thank God. We appreciate what he shared with us. And we're looking forward to Brother Parrish in the morning, 11 o'clock. We know it'll be great. We want him to come and greet you tonight. In Jesus' name, our superintendent. God bless Brother Parrish.
Thank you, Brother Glover. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight to have the privilege and opportunity of celebrating with you 50 years. 50 years. I remember being in a wedding, or at least being someone who visited someone renewing their vows. It was a fellow pastor in Fairbanks, and they were renewing their vows on their 50th anniversary, and they stood before the pulpit, and the pastor that was going to help them renew their vows just stood and looked at them for a while, and he finally declared, 50 years. And he looked at him and shook his head and said, 50 years. And he looked at everybody else and he said, 50 years. He said, that's a long time. I would imagine if all the pastors involved would have known that the Lord wouldn't have come before now, they'd have wondered if it was worth putting up with all of it. 50 years, Brother Glover, 50 years. Well, I'm just glad to be here with you tonight. We're looking forward to tomorrow and what the Lord is going to do. We've heard such great things about Brother Greg Glover's message last night, and just love this young man and appreciate him so very, very much. Amen. He has always surprised me. He preached his first revival in our church, and I was absolutely astounded at the quality of the message that he gave. And there are some things I don't understand about him. You know, the red tie and the red socks. I don't know where he got that. But being a pastor, I do know where he got his gray hair. I look at most of our pastors, and I see a lot of gray hair on them. And I was thinking about it. You know, I saw Brother Greg Glover's gray hair, and I looked over at Brother Mike Glover, and I couldn't tell if Brother Mike Glover had gray hair or not. Does Mike have gray hair? He does have gray hair. Well, I would imagine with two brothers and a father that are pastor, that would be good reason to have gray hair, okay? God bless all of you. Thank you for letting me come and say something tonight, Brother Glover. It's an honor to be here. And, sir, we honor you and your family tonight for the work you're doing in Sterling, Alaska.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Parrish. We appreciate him taking time away from his church. They're in church right now. And then he's going to be ministering in the morning and then zipping right back to be in service in Fairbanks. And you've already had snow. Oh, Lord, help us. Pray for him. Pray for him. And oh, my. What a great privilege to be together in the house of the Lord. Would you stand? It's time for the preaching of the word of the Lord. Praise God. We have refreshments downstairs, as I said. So you don't have to make the mad rush back to Soldotna to get to the fast food places. You just make your way downstairs and pray that the lights stay on. So we're going to give our preacher plenty of time tonight. What a tremendous word from the Lord last night that we heard. Praise God. Amen. You just have to stay in tune and just hear every point that he's going to make, because he's not the kind of preacher to stop and dwell on one particular point for a response from the congregation. He just has a word from God, words from God, that he's going to continue to share. So stay with it. Amen. You're going to hear some great things from God because this young man loves the word of the Lord, and that's what he preaches. Come preach, Pastor Greg Glover.
God bless you. You may be seated. What an honor. What an honor it is to be here. And I was extremely excited to preach tonight until I heard where the parish already had snow in Fairbanks, and now I'm extremely depressed. I was hoping that, of course, I'm down in Spokane, so it probably won't hit us for a while, but just the idea of snow just makes me want to curl up and take a nap. And so this may be a little shorter than I originally intended, but what an honor indeed it is to be here in celebrating this church and having had the privilege of being a part of this church for majority of my teen years and even beyond that, I surely thank God for the people in this church that have stayed, that have been dedicated, that have never lost their faith and never lost their vision, and recounting all the things that God has done, it's amazing how easy it is to forget all the miracles that have been performed in Sterling. I mean, it's amazing how many people have been healed, how many people have been touched, how many people have been delivered. You cannot discount the fact that God is working and still working in this church. And that's an awesome, awesome thing to recognize and realize God's great. So I give honor to all the Sterling saints, and then my beautiful mother. I appreciate her so very much. Pastor's wife extraordinaire, and what a help she's been to my father and minister. She prayed a lady through the Holy Ghost yesterday after church in the altar. She's a woman that's she's just a woman of prayer, and I've always been amazed at how they're in every hospital room that anybody that they almost know is in. They might have just passed them in Fred Meyer's and found out they're in the hospital. My parents will be there. That's the kind of pastors that they are. We call that old school. I'm just kidding. There's no Spokane people here, so I'm safe. No, but they have the burden they have for the people and the city. Is tremendous, and I can't speak on behalf of Brother French or Brother Cole, but I definitely can speak on behalf of my folks. The love they have for you, the love they have for this city, and the passion they have to see God do something amazing. And you've got to recognize if you have this many people in Sterling, if we were to do the data on that and say plug it into Anchorage, 200,000 people or whatever Anchorage has, or plug it into Spokane, it would be a big church. Percentage-wise, this is a great, great size congregation. And I just want you to know God's doing awesome things because of faithfulness over the years. And never discount the power of that faithfulness. Give honor to my mother, love her, my father. Appreciate him very much. And the word that comes out of him, teaching, the ability, all the wisdom. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm one of those guys that I was definitely smarter than my dad when I was 16, 17. And maybe a little less smart when 19, 20. And now I'm miles away from how wise he is. And it's amazing how you grow up a little bit and you recognize dad was always right. And it's amazing how I'm still learning, you know what, dad is still always right. And so if I would just do it his way the first time, it would save me a lot of trouble. Maybe I wouldn't have so much gray hair. And so I appreciate him, the wisdom that he has. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Genesis 15. My family that's here, my beautiful, beautiful wife, I love her, and she's been a part of this church. We dedicated Sierra in this church. Been 7 years now, which is amazing. 7 years ago we dedicated Sierra in this church, and all you ladies came out and offered blood back in the day. I don't know if you remember that, not to bring a, bring up, what were you saying about limbs earlier, Brother Blackshear, when you were talking? Whenever we had the emergency with Sierra was a complications, so many of you ladies came up, Sterling ladies, and you were there. And I just, you just can't, we were talking about that last night. You cannot put a price tag on the friendships, the loyalty that is in Alaska. And it's not just a couple years either. It's years of loyalty and friendship, sacrifice. And so it's just amazing the friendships we have. And I just give honor to my wife, my beautiful little girls, and my twin brother. And I think he does, Brother Parrish, have a little bit more gray hair than I have. But he's fought a few wars, so. That'll add some gray hair. I think that's probably up there with, you know, pastoring probably. Been to battle a few times. But I appreciate him and his wife, Megan, and love little Jackson. Had the opportunity to finally meet him. Little squirmy young guy, and looks a lot like Mike and I looked when we were younger. And so it brings me back, flashbacks to what my baby pictures look like. And my beautiful grandparents, their faithfulness over the years, appreciate them and love them. I just am overwhelmed with love, really, for my grandparents. And they had to parent us a bit. We went to their house for 3 months of college. Right out of when we left the house, we went to their house. We grew up. Moved out of our parents' house into our grandparents' house. And so we were big boys. And those 3 months, my grandparents had to parent all over again. And I appreciate so much their grace and their mercy and their love for my brother and I and, of course, our whole family. And I just really enjoy them. And, of course, looking forward for Jeff coming. If you would all stand with me, looking forward to Jeff coming. And great to have Melina here. And proud of her and the work that they're doing in Ketchikan. And I've been privileged to preach for them in Ketchikan. And they're hard-working pastors. Jeff and Melina have something going on all the time. And I don't like people myself. But they happen to love people and be around people. And so it's just kind of a wake-up call, like, so that's what pastors do. I thought you just studied. Genesis 15, give honor to the elders here on the platform with me, Brother Parrish, Brother Blackshear. So many things I could say about these two men, and I just want to get into the word, but I want them to know I love them very, very much. And this is my pastoral council actually up here on the platform, and I just give God thanks for them. Genesis 15. Verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. He counted it to him for righteousness. Verse 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And verse 17, it came to pass that when the sun went down And it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. I want to preach from this text for just a little while. I want to preach on bad breath. And in my generation, when you say bad, it can either mean like not good, or it can mean like bad. Awesome. And so that's where I'm going with that word right there. And I want to preach bad breath. And I wonder if you could lift up your hands to heaven. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Praise God. You may be seated. Ministry brethren, give honor to you. Good friend, Brother Herring. Keep in contact with him quite a bit, and I honor him. Abram has just won a battle against multiple kings with 318 servants. Now, that doesn't seem like the greatest of odds. 318 servants, and he joins a battle where five kings are fighting four. And he comes forth the victor. And he rescues his nephew Lot and takes dominion over kings. And it's in this setting, that's what just happened when the Bible said, after these things. He had just met Melchizedek. He had discarded the king of Sodom, and it's after these things that the word of the Lord came unto Abram. And I think what's amazing about that is without taking the time to talk about his background, Abram is a man full of promises, but it's been some time already, and it's going to be some more time before he has a child. And so we're talking about a man that has done everything God's asked him to do and has yet to see any fruit. God said, I will, I will, I will. And to Abram, he's looking around, he's wondering when is this going to happen? And he goes from being a leader of people to being a king himself. If you're going to dominate kings, you are a king yourself. And now the scripture says, and the word of the Lord came unto Abram. What's amazing about that is that in scripture, if that phrase is going to be used, almost 100% of the time, it's speaking to a prophet. The word of the Lord came. It's always seemingly in a prophetic sense. Or in other words, it's being given to a prophet. And lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 20, God tells a Philistine king, this man's a prophet, and he'll pray for you and your women can be healed. And whenever Abram became a prophet, probably right here in this passage of scripture, God is upgrading Abram. And all the while God is upgrading Abram, he's downgrading himself. And isn't it amazing, because of what hasn't happened, we miss what God is doing in us before we see what he's going to do through us. We're hoping God's going to do something through us that's going to blow our minds, or at least make some of those promises come to pass. But what God is doing is he's elevating Abram spiritually. And so this is something he's doing in him. And he's missing it because of what he can't see around him. And Abram, you've already done some awesome things. You've already conquered kings. You've already gotten rich. You've already built altars. You've already had vision. You've already talked with God. You've already heard the voice of God. So many things could be cataloged, but you know, God is doing something in you right now that he's not told you he was going to do. He's not even mentioned it in scripture. He is upgrading you to the Bible's first prophet. Of course, we'll find out later Abel was a prophet. We'll find out Enoch was a prophet. And these different ones were prophets. But here God is telling Abram, hey, I'm giving you a word. You're a prophet and you don't even know it. And I wonder what we're sitting around with right now that we don't even know we have. Not gonna have. Yeah, not gonna have. Not one of these days in the sweet by. But right now, the power and the potential that you have right now. And can I tell you that if you are a prophet, that power is going to be loosed through your speaking. It's going to be loosed through your ability to see beyond what is and to try to comprehend what could be. That's what a prophet does. And Abram, that's exactly what you need right now, my friend, is you need to see past what has yet to happen, and the disappointments and the letdowns, and well, I thank you for what you've done in this, that, and the other, but you've not done this. You've not done the big thing. And it's not doing the big thing that kind of just minimizes all the other stuff God's done. And that's so easy, and I'm thankful that we're testifying about what God's done in Sterling, because we're wanting God to blow up this building and knock the walls out and build a 400-seat congregation. And because that hasn't happened, it's easy to forget about all the miracles we're tripping over coming into this building. I want somebody in this building to know you tripped over miracles coming into this building. Don't forget that. Don't forget about the little miracles that got you back on your feet so you could be in this building today. Don't forget about the little prayers. They're not the big ones, but those little prayers that you got your mind still because of that miracle. Your marriage is still together because of that one little, those little miracles, my friend. But he said, Abram, you're a prophet. You know, God, whenever he made man in the very beginning, he gave man total dominion. Dominion over the earth, dominion over the sea, dominion over things in the air. He gave him dominion over anything that would come into the garden at all. Take dominion. But you know, God does not give Adam a weapon. He never gave him a sword or a shield or a spear. All he did was breathe into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. No sword, no spear. You don't need that, Adam. Dominion can get loosed if you what I breathed into you. The miracle, my friend, is already in you, Adam. All you need to fulfill every thing I've commanded you is in you. He even had a wife in him. God didn't go back to the ground to build his wife. He reached inside of Adam. And there's enough life inside of Adam to bring forth a bride. A whole nother human being comes out of the side. I wonder if there's enough life in us to reproduce after our kind. I wonder if God could reach into us and pull out enough life to or would he have to go back down to the ground? No. God said, I breathed into you enough life, Adam, that anything you're going to need is going to come out of you. Abram, you're a prophet. You're a prophet. You got something in you. The word of God comes in a vision. And it says, fear not. You know, if you've got a vision, it should line up with the word. And you better know your vision speaks. And so is your vision saying, fear not? Or is your vision saying, we could never do that? Because the vision God's given to Abram right now is a God-given fear not vision. But the vision that Abram has himself is competing with that vision. And what his vision is all the stuff you haven't done. And here God speaks to Abram, fear not. I am your shield. Now that's very important for you to understand, Abram, because I'm tired of you playing defense. I'm your shield.
Don't worry about playing defense, Abram. The reason I chose you is for offense. Run up the score, Abram. Get out there and make a move, Abram. I want you to know, church, that I think God's looking at us and saying, it's time for you to get off defense. I got that covered. That's my job. But blood, I don't need help with defense. I got the defense. I'm looking for somebody that would look ahead and play some offense. I'm looking for a church that dare to run up the score. Yeah. Come on, Abram. Look beyond your past. Look beyond your disappointments. Look beyond your timeline and all the boxes you put me in. That's your problem, Abram. You've got me in a box. You got me in something I didn't build. You built this structure. And this structure is built for exactly what you have. The Eliezer is my heir. The steward of my house is my heir. Not your steward. He serves my needs. Your house, Abram, is built around failure. Your structure is in place, and you are not planning on new birth. It's over for you, Abram. It can't possibly happen. No new birth. I'm building my structure around, you know, you're taking over when I die. This isn't my house, is what God's saying. Actually, if I'm going to do anything in you, Abram, I'm going to have to get you out of this house. If I'm going to speak promise into your life, get out of this house. I didn't build this house for you. You built this structure. You built this place planning on no new birth. Can I tell you something? Abram, whenever God began to speak to him and he starts saying, this Eliezer of Damascus, you know, the fact of the matter is Eliezer's name is God is help. And so how do you name Eliezer as the heir of your house and even say his name and get to the part where you say you're the heir of my house? How do you say God is my help and then say, but he's not helping me, so... Every time he said this guy's name. Have you ever thought, Abram, that this man's in your life to build your faith, not build your house? Have you ever thought these circumstances that are in your life, these facets, these elements, they are not there for permanence? They're there to put you into a place of power and promise? How can you say his name without saying God's going to do something? How can you say his name when you're feeling down and disappointed and without stopping? Nah, God's going to do something. He's my help. I want somebody in this building. We ought to start saying Eliezer a whole lot more. When we look around and we don't have the revival we want yet, Eliezer, God is my help. I can't say that and plan on failure. I can't look at my church and have no numbers like I want to have and say God is my help and think it's impossible. If God's my help, God begins his promise after Abram brings out his doubt and his unbelief and his, here's what has happened. And the Bible says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And we know that literally the Bible could have said again. Because it started out in verse 1 with the word of the Lord came. And Abram counters with what has happened. And so God gives the word again. Because the only possible way. You know, all the people that have stayed around Sterling so long and have yet to see the revival that you wanted to see. You've done the exact thing you should do. You've stayed around. You've come to church to hear the word again. Because one of these times that word is going to come and faith cometh. It might not come the first time you hear it. You might not grasp it the second time, but you come around again. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's why you ought to be thankful you got a word preaching pastor. Oh, I've got too much word in me to not believe God could do anything but fail. And if you are starting to doubt, get around the preaching. Get around the word. Let the word come again. Word's got to come again. And he starts off his promise to Abram when he speaks this second time around with a shall not. You know, before God can tell us shall be, sometimes he has to tell us what shall not. And Abram, you've got to be man enough to recognize this fact that God is saying no to your plans because they are not sufficient for his miracle. They'll hold your plans. They won't hold his power. That means you're going to have to go tell Eliezer, sorry. I know we planned on it, but I'm sorry. I got to change it. And there's nothing tougher than a pastor having to change structure around. But there comes a point in time where you say, do I want to make Eliezer happy? Or do I want new birth? Yeah. And sometimes God's got to say, shall not, before he says, shall be. Sometimes he's got to check people out of our lives before he can introduce the next thing he's going to do. You know, sometimes he's got to dismiss some things out of our life before he can deliver what he wants to deliver. And you're still holding on to Eliezer, you'll never get your miracle. And we've got these support systems that we build up that are comfortable to us. Because you know what? This is my backup plan. And there's some shall nots that need to happen. There's some things you ought to disconnect yourself from because holding on to them, you'll never believe for a miracle. Cancel that out. You cancel out the shall not, you'll hear the shall be. And I don't know about you, but Abram, when he talks in verse number 3, the steward of my house is. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to trade my is for his shall be. My present reality for his future promise. That's what this is all about, my friend. 50 years in the making. This church is on the move going forward. Our present reality is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be loosed. Is there anybody in Sterling willing to dump your ears and say, I believe you for a shout? I don't know how it's going to happen. Oh, but I believe it's going to happen. Abram! Quit looking around. Quit looking around outside of yourself for your miracle. Because what's going to be born is coming out of you. In other words, he's saying you don't need another programmer. You don't need to look around for what should we do here and how should we change it up. And I'm preaching to myself. What can we add? What can we implement? Let's change our church name. That'll do it. And God's saying, it's in you. It's coming out of you. That's how it's going to happen. It's not something you got to look for. It's not something you got to go obtain. It's already in you, Abram. It's going to come out of you, out of your loins, your air. It's in you. But you got to get out of this house. I didn't build this place. Come look at the stars. So he starts looking at the stars, and the Bible said he believed in the Lord. Bible said that he said, none and one. No seed, one. You're counting the wrong stuff. He said, count the stars. You're counting what has been. You're counting the wrong stuff. And when you start counting the wrong stuff, you count yourself out. You discount the power of God. Get out here and count them stars, Abram. You think you can count so good? That's how many kids you're going to have. I want you to know God, my friend, has such power that he wants to make prominent in our life to the point that we feel foolish that we ever doubted that he could do it. I'm not even going to try. That's what Abram's saying to God. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I want you to be so overwhelmed with my power hanging over your head, Abram. I want you to be so overwhelmed with all this glory that you feel crazy that you ever discounted me and counted yourself out. Count the right stuff. Count the right stuff. I'm good at adding up all the one plus this. You know, God is a God that 1 + 1 equals green. Don't think 1 + 1 in his economy equals 2. And I can count up all the reasons why you can't get a miracle and all the reasons why your family won't come in and all the reasons why Sterling doesn't want revival. And God will say, hey, I count a little different than you count. I blow your mind when I count, friend. I do things way beyond your head. You can't comprehend this thing, Abram. Don't think you got me figured out. Is there anybody in Sterling that would dare to believe in a God that's so big? You can't figure him out. There's no way we know his next move. And so Abram believed in the Lord. Not in the promise. In the Lord. Not in Sarah, not in himself. In the Lord. That's where all faith starts, in him. Not in the preacher, not in the prophecy, in him. In him. And Abram believed in God, and the Bible said that God counted it or credited it to his account as righteousness. You're not righteous, but I'll just credit it to your account. And that becomes a New Testament example for justification by faith. And we're too crazy to believe in our own minds that God could do that on other stuff. That God could say, you couldn't do it, but I'll credit it to your account. You didn't do the 40-day fast, but you haven't been serving me that long, but. And then all of a sudden you've got the 11th hour worker getting paid the same as the one that's been there all day long. I haven't been here as long as you, but God's paying me, and actually he's paying me 12 times as much as you. A penny an hour or a penny a day. And that's how God works, my friend. He'll do stuff that we do not deserve. We know that. That's what grace is. That's what unmerited favor is. But don't discredit yourself if God is saying, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. All right, count me in, God. I'll take it. I don't know about you, but if God will give me a shortcut, I'll take it. If God will credit my account, I'll take it. Is there anybody in this building that would believe that we've got a God that still does crazy, radical stuff like that? Favor you don't deserve. Power you didn't pay for. Oh, that's the God we serve, my friend. He credited it to him. Right standing is righteousness. Right standing. Right standing. So that's deeper than just, I received Jesus as my personal Savior. Right there, right standing. There's something that came on Abram and in. Had to have. Right standing. Something changed here. He got something on credit. He got something he wasn't ready for in time. We could belabor the point, say he had all kinds of things, but what's it take right now for righteousness? Can you be righteous without God's Spirit? No. You can't be. I don't know. I'm not going to say he got the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to say something happened. He's already a prophet, but something happened. And then he goes, all right, God. And God starts talking to him about the land. So he's talking about seed now. He's talking about land. And I'll hurry on here. And the Bible said that Abram looks at God and says, whereby shall I know it? Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? That's not faith. That's not a lack of faith. That is faith. If you're asking for signs, God, I want to see signs. You got faith. Yeah. If you're saying, God, I want to see a sign, I'd say you got faith. This isn't a lack of faith. This is a guy saying, I want to see it. I want to see it. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, actually, that's what needs to happen around here, huh? I want to see it. It's not going to be six more years, Brother Springer. I know what you were saying, but it's not going to be six more years. Because you're saying, I want to see it. I want this revival I was sent to Homer for. I want this revival we've been here 50 years for. Is there anybody in this building that's saying, bless God, I want to see it? These signs shall follow them that believe. Is there anybody saying, I want to see it today? I want it to be my hand. I want it to be my prayer. That's what Abram said. I want to see it. I want it. He spent all night long counting stars with God. And he's moved into a position of right standing and faith. How shall I know? And so God says, take five animals, 3 years old for the first three, and then two birds. And that's all God said. But if you really, there's not any, that's all he says. Take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of three, and a ram of three, turtle dove, and a young pigeon. That's all God says. And Abram takes it. God's never going to ask for something you don't have. Number one. He won't ask for something you can't do. God, I want it. He'll use what you have. And Abram takes these five animals. And I want you to notice what Abram begins to do here. He splits the first three, right down the middle. And he creates a channel. It's a channel that ultimately God himself is going to come through. You want to know how you're going to take the land? That's what Abram's asked him. He already knows the seed's coming out of me. And seed is revival as far as souls. Land is dominion. And the church has to have both. And God created the church to dominate. Oh yeah, Sterling Pentecostal Church, you've been put here to dominate this city. Yeah. Pentecostal, spell with the P-E-N-N-Y? No. Domination. Turning stuff upside down and not even caring. We need a church that knows how to walk in favor. We need a church that ain't afraid to say, yeah, we got it like that. Yeah, we're so uncomfortable being in favor, so uncomfortable talking about God did this for my life and God did. Why are we so uncomfortable talking about favor? God's always looked for somebody not afraid to wear a colored coat and say, yeah, you talk about me all you want to, but I'm a dreamer. You talk about me all I want to, but no matter where I'm at, I'm looking for favor. All you guys talking about me, all you see is fear. All Joseph sees is favor everywhere he goes. I get in prison, I'm looking for favor. I get in the pit, I'm looking for favor. I get in the palace, and I wish we had people comfortable in favor. I wish we had people not afraid to say, yeah, I got it like that, friend. Yeah, we do have power. This is our city. Oh, God put us on this planet to dominate. Yeah, take a backseat to nobody. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about authority. I'm talking about Paul looking at kings and saying, who do you think you are? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about absolute authority. This is our place. We come to dominate. And whenever God gave man the order to dominate, he included animals. And everything else, and dominate spirits, and dominate. He could have dominated the devil. But right now, all Abram can dominate are animals. And God's saying, I want you to start somewhere. Start somewhere. You're not dominating the devil yet. but start somewhere. Don't wait till you got it all to start somewhere. What can you take authority over? Do it. That's what he's saying. You want to know how you're going to take the land, Abram? Dominate something. If all you got in this church is power over sickness, make an ad in the newspaper and say, everybody that's sick in Soldotna and Sterling, come here. If you've got dominion over headaches, put it in the paper. I know I'm being radical here, but I come to tell somebody it's time for the church to recognize the blessings of Abram have been handed down to the church. We're the seed of Abram. We're the seed of Abraham. As Isaac was, so are we. Why do we take a back seat? Walk with our heads down. No, no, no. You bow down to me, wins. It's not the other way around. Oh, I'm disrespecting God's power when I don't act in authority. If I get intimidated by a devil, I'm disrespecting the God I serve. I'm looking at this and saying, he can't handle that. That's disrespectful, my friend. If you want to talk about respecting God's authority, dominate something. Take authority over sickness. Take authority over sin. Take authority over the devil. I don't care what it is, but you need to learn how to, in Jesus' name, I command you, I bind you right now. Oh, you need to learn how to dominate something, Abram. If it's just animals, you get some animals and you dominate them. I refuse to put myself under what God has already placed me over. I willingly bow down. Man, I'm preaching to myself, obviously, here. God's called us to dominate, my friend. Take what you can get your hands on. That's all he said to Abram. That's it. But what Abram's doing is, I want to take this land already. I want to know, whereby can I know that I'm going to inherit to get these animals? Right, I'll get them. And Abram, I'll show you how you're going to take the land, is when you go beyond what's been asked. Give me the animals. Abram's like, I'm not just going to give you these animals. I'm going to cut them down the middle. And what I'm doing here, God, is I am making a place for you to move through. Oh, there's sacrifice, there's blood, it's a mess. But since when's a move of God been pretty? Oh, they run the aisles in that church. I don't know, you know, but you better know we run the aisles, my friend. A move of God's never been pretty. Since when's a move of God been pretty? You tell me that Abram's not covered from the top of his head to the soles of his feet in blood and guts and mess? I'll show you when you want to move a God, when you don't care what anybody thinks about you. When you aren't afraid to get into the mess. When you just believe as radical as I can get. I'm preparing a pathway for the Holy Ghost to move down through. Woo! Somebody in this building, can I tell you how you dominate the land? You make room for God to move. That's all we can do. I can't be God. I can sure make sure he has a place to move. I can sure make sure, God, when I show up at church, I want you to know if I'm the only one on my feet, I'm making room for you to move. I'm opening up an aisle for you to... Oh, it's going to be bloody. I know. I don't care about getting a little sweaty. I don't care about going a little long. I want it so bad, God. I'm going beyond what you asked. I'm doing more than you asked. I'm going beyond what's required. That's what he's doing. He's preparing a place. God's going to move through here. There's nothing more powerful than a church whose game plan is move of God. What's your plan? We're going to start with the move of God. We're going to have a move of God in the middle. We're going to have a move of God at the end. How's that sound? I know you want to know what songs and who's coming up when. And I believe all that's necessary. But you better have a mindset that here's why we're here. Oh, this isn't about being friends with somebody and shaking hands with somebody and having a little memorial and going back to what God. No, it's saying, God, in this meeting, with all these people, we want to see something we've never seen before. What kind of power would get loosed if 100 apostolics would say, we're here for a move of God. I'm opening up a spot. God can move through here. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to stay in that position. We cannot get away from saying, Lord, we are desperate for a move of your Spirit. We are desperate for a move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't think you can get it too wild. You cannot get it too wild for me. I want you to know that right now. I'm not one of those that thinks you got to make it all pretty. Make it all neat. It's got to be all three steps, and here's how you get rich. 1, 2, 3. We're doing a series on debt is dumb. Number one, debt's dumb. Let's do a series on the gifts of the Spirit. Let's do a series on praise. Well, that's a lost art, isn't it? Let's do a series on prayer. Let's do a series on fasting. Let's do a series on sacrifice. Let's do a series on sacrificial giving. Let's do these series that get things happening. And Abram, he's prepared a place. Bible said he did not divide the birds. And probably the reason is they didn't have the capacity to be split. They weren't big enough. And you got to ask yourself, is your sacrifice big enough for God to move? Is your sacrifice big enough that God can move through it? Is it a God-sized sacrifice? Here we go. He's got these birds. He's got the sacrifice. It's a bloody mess. He's doing all this stuff that there's no scripture that tells him he was supposed to do it. And here comes Here comes a fowl upon the carcasses. If all you got's pieces, give pieces to God. He can work with you. That's what's laying there on the ground. It don't look good to man, but it looks awesome to God. He's saying that's what I've been waiting for, is a channel. Just you got pieces, that's it? Okay. I can work with pieces. And the Bible said the fowls come down to take out the carcasses. Scavengers. Spirits, if you will. And I don't have any time to go into this really, but the Bible said that Abram drove them off. Now always in my mind, I pictured this moment where he's got either a stick or he's got a coat. Not the story. That word that's used there in the Hebrews used two other times in Scripture. And what it literally means is, Abram, he blew. It's used in 147 and 18 of Psalms. And that describes the wind blows and the water flows. And it's the Spirit. Isaiah 40, the Spirit moves on the grass and it withereth away. The only uses in the entire Bible. And it means, and that's something about that breath that the fowls could not handle. The turbulence. You see, we're so used to, I got to get something to fight. Where's my Joel Osteen? Off? Where's my 5 steps? Where's my 6 steps? Where's my manual? And he's saying, Abram, you got something in you. I put abomination in you. I don't know if he got it right standing with God when he got it, when the prophetic came on him. I don't know. But there was something inside of Abram when he went. those fowls couldn't handle. Let me tell you something, my friend. That power that you've got inside you, the breath of God. There's only a few times in Scripture where the breath of God's even recorded. He breathes into Adam. Adam becomes a living soul. He breathes on his disciples. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed in Ezekiel's boneyard. And the Bible said he breathed in to this book right here. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's God's breath in these words. And so I don't care if all you're doing, fighting your adversaries, they're going to come. When you get desperate for a move of God, I don't care if you're just talking in tongues or you're quoting half the Bible. There's some vows, my friend, that won't be able to handle the atmosphere change. That's all he did. There wasn't a lot of physical energy. He wasn't waving his arms around. I just come to disturb the atmosphere. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and get crazy on you if you don't mind. I got a good friend of mine, and he's a prayer warrior. Praise, crazy, just crazy kind of prayers. I think God does crazy. If you don't believe God does crazy, you walk around naked for 3 years and tell me if he does crazy. Isaiah would probably say, yeah, he does crazy. You eat bread with dung for 300 some odd days and tell me if God don't do crazy. Ezekiel said, let me tell you something. Number one, I'm tired of laying on my left side. Number two, I'm sick of eating bread with dung in it. God told me to do it. God does crazy. This guy prays, and it's just radical. I won't go into it. But it's just, there's no word. You got to have words, right? Well, Hannah would say no. Got to have words. So he's asking God, what in the world, what is this? It's coming out. He said, well, you got to understand that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And he sends signals out in the atmosphere. It's not that we all fight the devil. We probably never met the devil. We fight spirits, but not probably the devil himself. But signals. He said, whenever I start moving through you and you don't understand what you're saying, I'm disrupting the devil's signals. I'm canceling orders. Now, I know that sounds crazy. And it was right about the time I talked to him on the phone and he told me that I had a devil show up. And I didn't even tell my wife about this, but literally showed up to my bedside. And I'm literally talking to him. And it's not the devil. I'm not talking about one of them moments where you feel like you're getting stuffed or choked. I'm talking about I saw him. And we're having a conversation. And he's telling me about all this stuff he's going to do to my family. And so I was talking to my friend. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I didn't even want to go to sleep. I mean, if it happens more than one night in a row, you're literally like, is it getting ready to happen again? He said, go take your phone up to your room. Put it. I get emotional because it meant something to me. Put it on your bed. And so I did. And he began to do his prayer. No words. Just crazy, unconventional sounds. And I'm not saying it was a magic trick. I'm just saying that there's fowls that were trying to come down in my room. And when I was speaking to that devil and I was rebuking him, I was telling him, I was doing everything but cussing at him. He didn't leave. And he came back. And he didn't leave that time. And so I'm waiting for him to come back the next night. And let me tell you, I've never seen him again. And so I just happen to believe that there's something about releasing the spirit out of you, that you don't need to go into combat with the devil, figure out what name you're going to name him, what kind of spirit of darkness you are, and get no in the name of Jesus, and you start speaking out. I don't care if you're just quoting, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I don't care if you're talking in tongues. Get that out of you. Get that out of you. There's an atmosphere change coming. That's a turbulence that the fowls can't handle. I wish somebody in this building would just go to talking in tongues, go to lifting your voice, go to quote. Get that out of you. Let there be release. You don't have to worry about going to hand-to-hand combat with something. God gave you dominion on the inside. Just get it out. Come on, somebody, there's power when you release that. I'm desperate for a move of God. I refuse to allow you to stop it. All you gotta do is blow. You release that. I'm so tired of hell trying to bring storms on the church. It's time for the church to start bringing some storms on hell. Why are we playing defense when God said, "I got that covered"? It's time for the church to start creating atmosphere shifts. I'm done. If you come to the keyboard, Jesus said, "Into your hands I release my spirit." What happened when God's spirit, when there was a release of the spirit, Bible said graves opened up, earthquake happened, all kinds of demonstrations. What would happen in Sterling if there was a release of the spirit? Abram, I put prophecy in you, son. Get it out of you somehow. I don't care if you shout, holler, make noises, or talk in tongues. You've got power inside of you. No foul in hell. They won't be able to land in here. He didn't have to fight them off all night. He went to sleep. Because when he blew, they didn't come back. With your hands, they'll be coming back. They can't stand up to a release of the spirit. Oh, I feel something in this house right now.
Ina masi